from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports with Balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobs. They're here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw, he's behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Hot and sunny day out in Charm City. Could use some rain to cool it down a little bit. That would help. That would help.
My grass is brown.
Yeah, I bet it is. Joining us now, he covers the Orioles and the Ravens for Baltimore Sports. It's my guy, Todd Karpovich. What's going on, Todd?
Hey, Cordell. Hey, Vinny. How's it going?
Good.
Not bad, Todd.
It rained yesterday. It didn't cool it down. Though,
it didn't rain for about 2 minutes.
Yeah, we need more. We're not during the game, obviously. We don't want a rain delay, but we could definitely take some rain in between that time. But, Todd, we were just talking some Ravens here recently with training camp getting ready to get started here pretty soon in a matter of 11 days with the entire team. And we were talking about this pass rush, and we know Clowney's gone, and we're looking for another big year from Adebike. We're hoping guys like Travis Jones takes a step, and Adafe Owe, Adisa Isaac as a rookie, and David Ajabo can just stay healthy. Van Noy was brought back. They have the pieces. But do you believe that their sack leader this year is currently on the roster?
The thing is, they got to make up 9.5 sacks from Clowney. He would have been a good guy to bring back. I don't really see that on this roster. 9.5 sacks from these guys. Always going to have to be the guy. But he's a solid player, but he hasn't historically been able to get to the quarterback. Ajabo is sort of the wild card, but he has to stay healthy. I don't know if they're going to go out and get an edge rusher during camp, but if that production is not there, in the early part of the season, I can see DaCosta pulling the trigger on a trade, trying to bring a guy in, or even if, one of these free agents still on the street in September, maybe bringing a guy in. But, yeah, the jury's out. I don't – right now, with the history, I don't really see the guy who could be that guy. Can now Van Noy get 9 sacks again at his age? We'll see. He talked – I think you were there, Courtney. He said earlier in training – in OTAs that – the fact that now he just has one mission to get the quarterback so he helped him. So we'll see if that helps. But right now I don't know if they have a guy on that outside linebacker defensive end who can get double digit sacks.
Yeah, the biggest problem, Todd, right now is they need somebody to develop into the guy, because Clowney was getting doubled and chipped all the time, and that was letting other people do their thing and be free. So is somebody going to develop into that guy that people are worried about?
Yeah, you know, they got a couple of wild cards. You know, today is Robinson and, you know, Malik Ham, two guys who stood out during OTAs. But, you know, again, they're unproven right now. You know, I know the Ravens have question marks at that spot. I think defensive end and offensive line are in two areas, maybe even safety are two areas. The Ravens are looking to bring some guys in, bring some veterans in for some support because it's sort of unproven right now.
Ty, you look at this offense, and, of course, the big sign in this offseason for the Ravens was bringing in Derrick Henry. And, you know, I feel like I've seen a lot of things put out there recently of whether or not this move has been overlooked. Do you feel like this will turn out to be a bigger move than it was made of in the offseason?
I think if he stays healthy, it's going to be expectations. The question is, you know, is he going to get 300 carries? And can he, you know, hold 300 carries, you know, at this point in his career? The Ravens really need, I mean, they signed Derrick Henry to be the guy down the stretch, to be the guy in the playoffs. So they don't have another debacle like they did against Kansas City in that championship game. You know, now he has Justin Hill behind him. Rasheen Ali is a guy who he's a rookie, unproven guy, and had some fumble issues in college. Can he be a guy, to some other guys get healthy? But yeah, I think this Derrick Henry sign is going to be big. I think the one-two punch with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson is going to loosen things up in the passing game because teams are going to have to put some extra guys up in the box. But yeah, you know, the key now is to keep Derrick Henry healthy. That's going to be everything.
Now, Todd, what are you looking for in the first 5 practices in shorts? Because to me, everything that I want to see is when the pads come on, you know, because we got to see O-line, D-line. I want to see the DBs, you know, jamming people and stuff. So, you know, the mini camp practices, we're going to have 5 more of those.
Yeah, I think, you know, the key, right, I think the early part of training camp is going to look at this offensive line, who's going to emerge.
I know, but what are you going to see with no pads on?
Well, you know, I don't, you know, I guess in their form, you know, I think they have an idea who's going to be the starter. But again, you know, they're going to ease into it. But Harbaugh said he wants to name these starters in the offensive line the first 2 weeks. So I don't know how much they're going to ramp it up there early.
But Todd, what can you learn about, what do you know about Voorhees and Rosengarten and all these guys and stuff until the pads come on? I mean, you know, it's all nice without the pads, but I mean, is the dude going to hit? Is he going to stay low? Can he come off? Can he roll his hips? Can he do those things?
Yeah, I mean, the players admitted that all this is sort of kind of moot until they get the pads go on and the bullets start flying. Yeah, you know, but that's the thing, you know, the Ravens, once the pads go on, they're going to see a different style of practice. You know, and again, the Ravens are practicing late, too, 1:30 to 3:30, generally speaking, yeah, in the heat of the day. So we'll see what guys can deal with that. But, yeah, you know, I think the stars are really good. I think the biggest question mark with the Ravens going during the training camp is going to be what they have at depth.
We're talking to Todd Karpovich from BaltimoreSports.com. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Todd, let's go to the Orioles. Orioles lose 9-2. Last night to Chicago, not a good outing for Dean Kramer, and I feel like we've been saying that more and more recently. Where's your concern level with him right now?
You know, the second start's coming up to IL, so, you know, he said, you know, he's struggling right from the first inning last night, you know, right away, you know, but he knew it's going to be a long night, and his numbers weren't overly bad. You know, he said he's pretty happy with his command, but, you know, they hit him around a little bit. The Cubs got some good pitches, and Orioles didn't, they didn't really hit either. So I do think this is a concern. I think the fifth spot in the rotation is more of a concern. You know, Dean Kramer has to go more than 4 innings. I'll tell you that. I was hoping that, you know, he could get 6 last night, but he just didn't have it. You know, his pitch count was up there, and, you know, he's throwing a couple home runs. But, yeah, the Orioles, you know, and after the game, I was actually up there as a piece. I was on the Cubs side. But, you know, Mike Elias and Sigmund Hill and the owner, they sort of went into a separate room, sort of powwow after the game for, like, you know, for like 10 or 15 minutes. So, you know, I think the Orioles are going to pull a trigger on a trade for another starter, maybe even a guy in the bullpen. But, yeah, the starting rotation, if this team wants them, they serve the winning World Series. They got to shore this thing up.
Hey, Todd, don't you think for the trade deadline, we were talking about it earlier, I says there's not enough teams right now that are sellers. I don't think anything gets done till maybe the 29th or 30th. What's your opinion?
that's exactly right, because of the extra, the wild card teams now, you know, teams are in it. They're going to be in it, you know, for a while. And if teams can figure they can sneak in that wild card, they're going to trade pitching. It's going to be a seller's market. I mean, every team needs pitching. And, you know, there's certain teams that are out of it, like the White Sox. You know, maybe the Rangers are starting to fall a little bit. But, yeah, this is going to come down to the trade deadline. And it's going to be – it could be painful what you got to give up prospect-wise to get a starting pitching.
Todd, great stuff as always. Appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
Todd, I'll see you on the 21st.
I'll see you out there, Vinny.
Yep.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to the whip around. We'll check in on what's going on around the world of sports, see what's going on with a couple of these American League East teams as well. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 1057 The Fan.
And it gets away! And this game is over!
Unbelievable. One out with nobody on. Boy, you think back about all the takes, and the ball looked like it caught a piece of the plate.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for Bob. Still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. It's the whip around, getting you some news from around the world of sports. That highlight you just heard, courtesy of NBC Sports Washington Bay Area. Well, not Washington, but NBC Sports Bay Area. The Giants, they get the walk-off win against the Blue Jays on the wild pitch. Trevor Richards, he gets the blown save and the L. Last night, Giants win 4-3 in a comeback victory. Giants scored three runs between the eighth and the ninth inning to win this game against Toronto. Toronto, they just can't seem to get anything right these days. And Actually, you know, they seem like they, every now and then it looks like they're about to turn the corner a little bit, yep. And it just, it's like the car that's revving up and it just doesn't start up. It's just giving them false hope every time. So the Blue Jays, they fall to the Giants out on the West Coast last night. Yankees, they lose to the Rays out in Tampa last night, 5-3. Carlos Rodon, he takes the L, 9-7 now on the year, and apparently a lot of Yankees brass was out in Tampa Bay last night, and here's what good old Cashman had to say after that loss.
It's just been a struggle, obviously, so and you're right, you know, thankfully we got out of the gates really strong, you know, so you know, that cushion will allow us to work through this hopefully sooner than later, because it's gone on long enough, but yeah, it's been a tough stretch for us.
What's your level of concern with what you've been seeing?
I'm always concerned. It's my job to be in a position to never assume anything, so today's a new day, and we're hoping to get back on track today.
Yeah, and look, that was actually before they took the L, so they didn't get back on track. Yeah. That was GM Brian Cashman for the Yankees. Yankees now 3-7 of their last 10. They've lost two in a row now, and
they're 5-16 over their last 21.
It's bad. It's bad. I've paid attention to a little bit of what's going on out there. Every time I'm watching the Yankees, they look almost unrecognizable. Right now, they still have quite a few good bats in that lineup, and the pitching has been the worst of it. The pitching has really fallen off the cliff compared to what it was at the start of the year. And if you're Brian Cashman, I just don't know how you go about fixing this thing. I think it's more than just a talent issue. They've had the talent to get 55 wins to this point. I don't think all of a sudden these guys rolled out of bed and they suck. I think there's some underlining issues going on in New York.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree with you, Cordell. I think there's locker room issues. Something in the locker room is not right, because, like you said, they look... The only guy who looks like he's having fun is the rookie first baseman who's been killing the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other than that, I don't... You know, I mean, Judge is going to be Judge, but the other guys... The other guys are all, like, look at what happened to Volpe. Volpe was kicking butt early on. Now he's struggling big time. And like you said, all the pitchers are.
Yeah, it's been terrible for the Yankees here as of late. Orioles holding a 3-game lead over the Yankees in the American League East. And remember, like I said, the Yankees are out in Tampa taking on the Rays, who aren't great in their own right, only 45-46 on the year. But the Rays have started to play better baseball here as of late. And last night, they were able to beat up on the Yankees. Elsewhere around baseball, the Guardians, they won 9-8 over the Tigers in extra innings. The Phillies blew out the Dodgers 10-1. That was never really a game. The Reds won 12-6 over the Rockies. Boston, they defeated the A's 12-9. The Mets 7-5 over the Nationals. Houston 4-3 over the Marlins. Pittsburgh beat up on the Brewers 12-2. Texas 5-4 over the Angels. Atlanta 6-2 over Arizona, and Seattle 8-3 over the Padres. Elsewhere in some basketball news, Team USA, Kawhi Leonard, he's withdrawn from Team USA. He will not be playing with the team in the Olympics out in Paris. Looks like this was a decision made by him and the Clippers and the USA organization. Look, I mean, guys like Kawhi Leonard, it's not a surprise that he's pulling out. Honestly, it was a surprise he even showed up. Mm-hmm. I feel a little bit of a way when guys aren't able to be healthy for their team, especially in the postseason. You're not even really able to get on the court. And then no more than a month or so later, you're showing up for Team USA stuff. That's not always the best look, considering the Clippers are the ones that's paying this guy. Not necessarily.
Will they add another guy?
They'll fill it in. I saw that Derek White, the guard from the Celtics, looks to be kind of the favorite right now, but they haven't announced who will be taking Kawhi's spot, which is going to be a loss. I mean, Kawhi Leonard, when he's at his best, is, in my opinion, one of the better players in the league, probably the best two-way player in the league, but it's just been a while since we've gotten to see Kawhi Leonard at his best.
Are they going to have tough games in the Olympics, Cordell?
With this team, I don't think so. I mean, they will have tough games eventually. I don't know how many. You always got to watch out for the Spains of the world. I'm not I haven't really checked in on some of the rosters around the world to see how they stack up. But when you got a guy like Embiid on this roster who really probably should be playing elsewhere,
yeah,
that's kind of a leg up for them on other teams. And, you know, they have a star-studded staff with LeBron and Steph and all these guys. I always have a tough time believing that anybody's going to beat these dudes when it really matters. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to some Orioles talk. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in. Corbin Burns, he was supposed to start the game last night. He was moved over to tonight. Does that matter to us? Does that matter that he will not be pitching twice for the Orioles this week? We could talk back about that next here on The Fan.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere f***ing else.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next at 11:45, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw. See what you guys are talking about on the text line. Right now, we're talking some Orioles baseball. Orioles lose 9-2 last night to the Chicago Cubs in game one of this three-game series. Dean Kramer, he got the start and the loss last night. He's now 4-5 on the year. Kramer wasn't initially slotted to start the game last night. Initially, it was going to be Corbin Burns, and that would have given Burns the opportunity to pitch again on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. against the Yankees. Instead, it's Kramer last night, Burns tonight, giving Burns a solid chance to be able to pitch in the All-Star game. And results from last night aside, and Vinny, we talked a little bit about this earlier about what's probably went on behind the scenes in terms of making the decision. You know, I don't think Brandon Hyde just out of nowhere, it's just like, yeah, we're swapping Corbin Burns. I'm sure Burns was a part of that dialogue, a part of that conversation. And all in all, I don't think it'll be anything. I don't think it's a shift to the season. You know, I don't think it'll make a difference of whether or not they win the American League East or not. It could end up really impacting the immediate standings in the division, considering that weekend series against the Yankees is going to be pretty big, considering depending on what the gap is going into that series. Right now, it's at 3, I think.
Yeah.
That series could hold a lot of weight in terms of who goes into the All-Star break at the top of the division.
Yeah. With the way the Yankees pitchers are pitching, Cordell, it may be more about the O's bats.
Mm-hmm.
Than it is about Corbin Burns. But I'm guessing, Cordell, that this decision was made in Oakland. When they were in Oakland, they had the conversation at some point. Or maybe on the plane back, they had that conversation about how do you feel, you know, because he had been on paternity leave, those kind of things. So I have no problems with it because you're talking about a pro. I mean, if this was a rookie or something, Cordell, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not a dude that, you know, is going to win the Cy Young and all that kind of stuff. So, no, I'm not concerned one bit. I'm not upset at all because there's more to meets the eye here. We don't know what was said, but there's good reason for it.
Yeah, and look, Burns is a guy that, and you said this earlier, he's big on, you know, his regimen, his routine, yep, and everything like that. So if they're going to shift his start days, you would imagine he's going to have some say-so on that because his routine and everything is going to be shifted as well. That's going to change his process. So he's got to kind of okay that to make sure that, you know, he could still do his routine and still get out there and be the Corbin Burns that everybody knows him to be. All in all, like I said, I would love to see Burns pitch twice this week. I'd love to see him out there Sunday against the Yankees in a game that may be for the series come Sunday. But I'm not upset enough about it to really make a big deal about it.
Because I would bet, and Norm, I would bet too that, you know, Hyder goes to him and says, how you feeling? You know, what's your mindset? What are you thinking? I think those are the types of questions that Hyder's asking him, because Burns knows his body. Hyder doesn't know Burns' body. Mm-hmm. So I think it's all about, and he's earned that.
Let's go to a guy that's been hot as of late, Heston Kjerstad. Heston has been really good since he was brought back up on June 24th. For the Orioles, he batted 438 throughout that rest of the month of June. He's batting 313 right now. He's got the three home runs in that time as well. Got a hit yesterday and a walk, also struck out. But Heston has looked really good to the point to where I just think he's a mainstay at this point. I've been a fan of Heston for a while, and in my mind, I didn't want to trade him anyway, but I think the way that he's played since being brought back up should kind of put him on the back end of the list in terms of guys that the Orioles should be willing to move as we get closer to the deadline.
Yeah, I like Kjerstad. And the thing that everybody criticized him for, Cordell, I mean, I've watched all the games that he's played in. He hadn't, like, defensively, he's been fine.
He's looked the part.
He's caught balls. He's thrown out people. The only thing, like Haney always says, he doesn't have the range as the others.
But, he doesn't.
You know, but he catches the balls he's supposed to catch.
Yeah, and he looks the part. I mean, it's not easy to play left field in Camden Yards. And to this point, since he's been brought back up, he hasn't looked out of place out there. That's a big part of even getting in the lineup for this Orioles team and Brandon Hyde, because defense is a big part of what they do. It's a big part of their winning formula. So I think Heston, by showing that he can be a competent left fielder for them, that was just half the battle.
Left or right.
Yeah. I mean, I only say left is because it now makes it so that they don't have to play Austin Hayes against these right-handed bats. Hayes has been really good against the lefties, but they'll put him out there because he's one of those guys that you can trust to cover all that field out there in left field. Kowser as well. But Kjerstad has been really good, especially at a time where Kowser hasn't been at his best.
Well, the thing about it too, Cordell, is like the other day when he went from first to third, Kjerstad, he looks like he could put him up. Yeah, he did. He did. I was not disappointed. I'm a Kjerstad fan. I like him. I like him. I think. I mean, the way he swings, he's just a real smooth hitter.
And he's really just scratching the surface. I mean, his power is his calling card. So everybody knows. You know, he can go yard. Everybody knows that he's got a loud bat. But I think it's going to get to the point to where he's one of those guys that we're looking at on this team as a 25, 30-plus home run guy eventually once he starts getting some of those regular at-bats down the line.
So, I mean, how tough will it be for you if they trade him? It'll be, you know, it'll be like when Keaton Mitchell got hurt. That was like a gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they trade Kjerstad, it's like, eh.
You got to be getting something really good for Kjerstad right now. I'm not moving him. That's me. I feel
but
like there
may,
are other.
For the right guy, you may. He's only going, Cordell, if it's a blockbuster deal.
Yeah, and then at that point, I mean, I don't know if it'll just be him, you know, for arm. It'll be other things that you're giving up, too.
No doubt.
It's like, are you okay with giving up that much to get a Crochet or one of these guys? I mean, I'll take a Eric Fetty, and I'm not saying Eric Fetty like he's going to be on the cheaper scale either. He's probably going to be in that world in terms of what it'll take to get him, just like Crochet. But I just don't see a scenario right now that I'm willing to give up a guy like Heston Kjerstad. I just think there's so much more there that he has to show that what we've seen so far. The fan.
Different sports, different teams, different opinions. There's one place to talk about them, and it's on 105.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere else.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next at 11:45, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw. See what you guys are talking about on the text line. Right now, we're talking some Orioles baseball. Orioles lose 9-2 last night to the Chicago Cubs in game one of this three-game series. Dean Kramer, he got the start and the loss last night. He's now 4-5 on the year. Kramer wasn't initially slotted to start the game last night. Initially, it was going to be Corbin Burns, and that would have given Burns the opportunity to pitch again on Sunday at 11:30 a.m. against the Yankees. Instead, it's Kramer last night, Burns tonight, giving Burns a solid chance to be able to pitch in the All-Star game. And results from last night aside, and Vinny, we talked a little bit about this earlier, about what's probably went on behind the scenes in terms of making the decision. You know, I don't think Brandon Hyde just out of nowhere, it's just like, yeah, we're swapping Corbin Burns. I'm sure Burns was a part of that dialogue, a part of that conversation. And all in all, I don't think it'll be anything. I don't think it's a shift to the season. You know, I don't think it'll make a difference of whether or not they win the American League East or not. It could end up really impacting the immediate standings in the division, considering that weekend series against the Yankees is going to be pretty big, considering depending on what the gap is going into that series. Right now, it's at 3, I think.
Yeah.
That series could hold a lot of weight in terms of who goes into the All-Star break at the top of the division.
Yeah. With the way the Yankees pitchers are pitching, Cordell, it may be more about the O's bats.
Mm-hmm.
Than it is about Corbin Burns. But I'm guessing, Cordell, that this decision was made in Oakland. When they were in Oakland, they had the conversation at some point. Or maybe on the plane back, they had that conversation about how do you feel, you know, because he had been on paternity leave, those kind of things. So I have no problems with it because you're talking about a pro. I mean, if this was a rookie or something, Cordell, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not a dude that, you know, is going to win the Cy Young and all that kind of stuff. So, no, I'm not concerned one bit. I'm not upset at all because there's more to meet the eye here. We don't know what was said, but there's good reason for it.
Yeah, and look, Burns is a guy that, and you said this earlier, he's big on, you know, his regimen, his routine, yep, and everything like that. So if they're going to shift his start days, you would imagine he's going to have some say-so on that because his routine and everything is going to be shifted as well. That's going to change his process. So he's got to kind of okay that to make sure that, you know, he could still do his routine and still get out there and be the Corbin Burns that everybody knows him to be. All in all, like I said, I would love to see Burns pitch twice this week. I'd love to see him out there Sunday against the Yankees in a game that may be for the series come Sunday. But I'm not upset enough about it to really make a big deal about it.
Because I would bet, and Norm, I would bet too that, you know, Hyder goes to him and says, how you feeling? You know, what's your mindset? What are you thinking? I think those are the types of questions that Hyder's asking him, because Burns knows his body. Hyder doesn't know Burns' body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's all about, and he's earned that.
Let's go to a guy that's been hot as of late, Heston Kjerstad. Heston has been really good since he was brought back up on June 24th for the Orioles. He batted .438 throughout that rest of the month of June. He's batting .313 right now. He's got three home runs in that time as well. Got a hit yesterday and a walk, also struck out. But Heston has looked really good to the point to where I just think he's a mainstay at this point. I've been a fan of Heston for a while, and in my mind, I didn't want to trade him anyway, but I think the way that he's played since being brought back up should kind of put him on the back end of the list in terms of guys that the Orioles should be willing to move as we get closer to the deadline.
Yeah, I like Kjerstad. And the thing that everybody criticized him for, Cordell, I mean, I've watched all the games that he's played in, he hadn't, like, defensively, he's been fine.
He's looked the part.
He's caught balls. He's thrown out people. The only thing, like Haney always says, he doesn't have the range as the others.
But, he doesn't.
You know, but he catches the balls he's supposed to catch.
Yeah, and he looks the part. I mean, it's not easy to play left field in Camden Yards. And to this point, since he's been brought back up, he hasn't looked out of place out there. That's a big part of even getting in the lineup for this Orioles team and Brandon Hyde, because defense is a big part of what they do. It's a big part of their winning formula. So I think Heston, by showing that he can be a competent left fielder for them, that was just half the battle.
Left or right.
Yeah. I mean, but just in, I only say left is because it now makes it so that they don't have to play Austin Hayes against these right-handed bats. Austin Hayes has been really good against the lefties, but they'll put him out there because he's one of those guys that you can trust to cover all that field out there in left field. Kowser as well. But Kjærstad has been really good, especially at a time where Kowser hasn't been at his best.
Well, the thing about it too, Cordell, is like the other day when he went from first to third, Kjærstad, he looks like he could put him up. Yeah, he did. He did. I was not disappointed. I'm a Kjærstad fan. I like him. I like him. I think. I mean, the way he swings, he's just a real smooth hitter.
And he's really just scratching the surface. I mean, his power is his calling card. So everybody knows, you know, he can go yard. Everybody knows that he's got a loud bat. But I think it's going to get to the point to where he's one of those guys that we're looking at on this team as a 25, 30-plus home run guy eventually once he starts getting some of those regular at-bats down the line.
So, I mean, how tough will it be for you if they trade him? It'll be, you know, it'll be like when Keaton Mitchell got hurt. That was like a gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if they trade Kjærstad, it's like, eh.
You got to be getting something really good for Kjærstad right now. I'm not moving him. That's me. I feel
but
like there
may,
are other.
For the right guy, you may. He's only going, Cordell, if it's a blockbuster deal.
Yeah, and then at that point, I mean, I don't know if it'll just be him, you know, for arm. It'll be other things that you're giving up, too.
No doubt.
It's like, are you okay with giving up that much to get a Crochet or one of these guys? I mean, I'll take a Eric Fetty, and I'm not saying Eric Fetty like he's going to be on the cheaper scale either. He's probably going to be in that world in terms of what it'll take to get him, just like Crochet. But I just don't see a scenario right now that I'm willing to give up a guy like Heston Kjærstad. I just think there's so much more there that he has to show, that what we've seen so far is too small of a sample size. I just think there's still a lot more left. With
plus
him.
Cordell, I mean, Santander going to be a free agent, and Mullins and Hayes, you know, will be in what, another year or so, something like that. So he can step. Well, he's kind of stepping right in right now.
Yeah. No, he's going to be a big part of their October run. Without question. And another guy that hasn't been as hot recently, Ryan Mountcastle. And Mountcastle is one that I'm a Mountcastle guy, but it just feels like it's extreme, you know, good or bad. You know, when he's good, he can carry this lineup. He can be the guy that's their primary run producer. But I feel like when he's in a slump, he just—it's almost unrecognizable. He'll swing at almost anything, and it's—it just feels like that lack of success just starts to compound. And he can go stretches without giving anything offensively for a while. I mean, 0-for-3 last night. Didn't get a hit in the last game against Oakland either. But he, you know, had the two hits before that in a 19-8 blowout. I just wonder with Mountcastle, will his inconsistency be something that hurts them again down the line?
Cordell,
not that he was the reason that they lost last year.
You're in the locker room and stuff. How strong mentally is he? Because it seems like when a guy's up and down like that, you know, maybe mentally he gets down on himself and that affects him.
I don't get the vibe that mentally it's an issue for him. He seems like the same guy whether he's
because
up
like
or
when
not.
Mullins was in a slump, body language told you he was in a slump.
Yeah, you don't.
And Hayes too.
Yeah, I would say you don't get that from Mountcastle as much. He's a guy that's still probably going to have some sort of smile on his face, still going to come out there and look. I'll tell you the way that he talks, you don't know whether you know he's producing or not. Honestly, he's kind of the same. And to your point, that usually isn't the case when a guy is sporadic like that in his play. His mood isn't usually that way, but he's kind of the same level.
And doesn't want to do interviews. And
Mountcastle, whenever he is there to talk, he'll talk. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing every time. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse, see what's happening on the text line with Quick Draw McGraw. That's next here on The Fan.
What are you drinking? Vinny, cake bread, Chardonnay. Haney, Mick Ultra. Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney. Here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan Quick Draw McGraw. He's behind the glass and on the text line. Let's take a trip through the Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Got people chiming in here on the whole Corbin Burns debate, you know, starting twice in a week, the All-Star game, all of it together. Chuck in Virginia checking in says, I normally wouldn't have a problem with Burns only pitching once before the break, but with that last series being against the Yankees, a division opponent, not too thrilled about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's a factor. I still think Kramer stinking up the joint last night is a factor. But yeah, them being able to go against the Yankees with this division race being as close as it is right now. Yeah, I mean, you'd like to go into the All-Star break, A, still in first place in the division, and B, with as big of a lead as you could possibly have, because you just don't know when they're going to wake up. And maybe just like it did for the Orioles, where the Orioles were able to kind of pick themselves up while the Yankees were slumping. We don't know if in the second half of the season that may happen again, vice versa.
Other side of the coin here, this texter says, doing right by Burns makes him more likely to sign here in the long term if he feels like the organization listens to him and respects him. Also, I'm all in favor of keeping him fresher for later in the season and playoffs.
I don't think that's a bad idea. I just think he has a lot of say-so, and he's earned a lot of say-so. So, I think people getting upset with him and stuff, I think is totally wrong, because there's a good reason why he's not pitching. I mean, he's a gamer. So I'll bet you if it would have, could have worked out, he would have.
As far as the Dean Kramer aspect of things last night, this texter, maybe a little more sympathetic, says, sure, he did walk too many, had a lot of 0-2 counts, but the Cubs rolled over 4 ground balls that ended up being hits. He alone was not the issue. Defense let him down.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I said that earlier. You know, defense definitely didn't help him out at all. And the offense didn't help him out either. They only had 5 hits, two runs.
0-for-1, runners in scoring position. Yeah, I mean, it's just... The Cubs were 4-for-17.
Just wasn't much action offensively for the Orioles last night. It was the total package. Indeed, I think for Kramer, it's just the fact of we're seeing it. It's not like last night was the one-off. Like, it's not like he just came back off rehab and this is now the Dean Kramer that we're looking at. No, Kramer was showing signs of this even before the rehab stuff.
Now, separate issue here, but the errors. I was a little curious because it seems like whenever the Orioles have a defensive miscue, it starts to snowball on them a little bit, and they have multiple in one game. They have 43 errors on the year. That's the 7th lowest in the league, so they are doing pretty well in respects to the rest of the league. Boston has the most at 67, so the gap there, 43 to 67 between the 24th team and first. I don't know. I mean, I think for a team that still touts themselves as a good defensive team, it's just been a little bit too many defensive miscues this year from guys like Gunnar Henderson, who we've seen play, for the most part, gold glove caliber defense in their career. Westberg, you know, sure thing with defense. He's been a little sloppy at times. So I don't know. I don't think it's an overarching issue, but when it does pop up, it seems to really, really be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, that's kind of the dirty little secret that Gunnar definitely has. He makes some plays defensively, obviously a lot of wild plays. But he also has the ones where it's the routine plays, and whether he drops the ball or he had the error the other day where he overshoots the throw to first base. He has some mental lapses at times where, you know, he's so good where that shouldn't be the case. Ramon had one as well. He's a former Gold Glover. Yeah, I mean, for a team that does hang their hat on defense, they do kind of struggle, I think, with some of the mental lapses on defense, probably more than they should.
And then, oddly enough, the guy who gets criticized for his defense, you know, Heston Kerstad.
Yeah. Right.
He's been a sure thing since he's been here.
And so. And probably the toughest place to play defense out at Camden Yards right now.
But give him his credit. One more here is on the Burns subject from Jimmy in Pasadena. Says, you guys sound like spoiled young fans. There you go, Vinny. Someone calling you young. Yep. That's good. goes on to say the Baltimore players and organization shouldn't be scared of the Yankees at all. The fan base, for some reason, is. Corbin Burns will be the starting pitcher for the All-Star game. I'm all for it. Enjoy it and shut up about the series against the overachieving New York Yankees.
Well, all right. I mean, I don't think anybody is scared of the Yankees, but to ignore the type of roster that they have, and like they're only three games behind, they don't stink that bad. I mean, to say that they're overachieving with a MVP and Aaron Judge, they got Juan Soto out there, like they're not. I wouldn't say that the Yankees are overachieving right now. It's tough to say that a team like that is overachieving in general when all they ever do is try to build their team to win championships. They're not a team that is ever kind of in the middle. So I don't know about that one. I don't think anybody is scared of the Yankees, but it's nothing wrong with respecting what they have and being realistic about, look, they have a legit chance to win this division as well.
I think by the time they go to All-Star break, I think the O's will be up six.
I do think the O's will end up pulling away. I don't know if it'll be that soon, but I think when it's all said and done, I do think the Orioles will pull away from them. I do think the Orioles are clearly the better team between the two.
I think the Yankees need to worry more about Boston than they do the O's right now.
Yeah, maybe. All of a sudden, they're in the equation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Boston with another blowout win last night. The pitching is maintained, and the bats, they're there more than that. We'll see if Devers can still hang on. He was able to stay in the lineup yesterday. We'll see if he can stay healthy throughout the rest of this season. But that'll be huge for their success. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. Vinny has been talking a lot about the rookies, giving you his rookie report before the draft and telling you now what he thinks these guys will do now that they're on this team. We'll look at Tez Walker, the wide receiver from North Carolina. That's next here on The Fan. The Fan.
What are you drinking? Vinny. Cake bread. Chardonnay. Haney. Mick Ultra. Vinny and Haney. 105.7. The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan Quickdraw McGraw. He's behind the glass and on the text line. Let's take a trip through the funhouse.
Quickdraw's Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick throw.
105.7 The Fan.
Got people chiming in here on the whole Corbin Burns debate. Mm-hmm. You know, starting twice in a week, the All-Star game, all of it together. Chuck in Virginia checking in says, I normally wouldn't have a problem with Burns only pitching once before the break, but with that last series being against the Yankees, a division opponent, not too thrilled about it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's a factor. I still think Kramer stinking up the joint last night is a factor. But yeah, them being able to go against the Yankees with this division race being as close as it is right now. Yeah, I mean, you'd like to go into the All-Star break, A, still in first place in the division, and B, with as big of a lead as you could possibly have, because you just don't know when they're going to wake up, and maybe just like it did for the Orioles, where the Orioles were able to kind of pick themselves up while the Yankees were slumping. We don't know if in the second half of the season that may happen again, vice versa.
Other side of the coin here, this texter says, doing right by Burns makes him more likely to sign here in the long term if he feels like the organization listens to him and respects him. Also, I'm all in favor of keeping him fresher for later in the season and playoffs.
I don't think that's a bad idea. I just think he has a lot of say-so, and he's earned a lot of say-so. So, I think people getting upset with him and stuff, I think is totally wrong, because there's a good reason why he's not pitching. I mean, he's a gamer. So I'll bet you if it would have, could have worked out, he would have.
As far as the Dean Kramer aspect of things last night, this texter, maybe a little more sympathetic, says, sure, he did walk too many, had a lot of 0-2 counts, but the Cubs rolled over 4 ground balls that ended up being hits. He alone was not the issue. Defense let him down.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I said that earlier. You know, defense definitely didn't help him out at all. And the offense didn't help him out either. They only had 5 hits, 2 runs.
0-for-1, runners in scoring position. Yeah, I mean, it's just... The Cubs were 4-for-17.
Just wasn't much action offensively for the Orioles last night. It was the total package. Indeed, I think for Kramer, it's just the fact of we're seeing it. It's not like last night was the one-off. Like, it's not like he just came back off rehab and this is now the Dean Kramer that we're looking at. No, Kramer was showing signs of this even before the rehab stuff.
Now, separate issue here, but the errors. I was a little curious because it seems like whenever the Orioles have a defensive miscue, it starts to snowball on them a little bit, mm-hmm. and they have multiple in one game. They have 43 errors on the year. That's the 7th lowest in the league, so they are doing pretty well in respects to the rest of the league. Boston has the most at 67, so the gap there, 43 to 67 between the 24th team and first. I don't know. I mean, I think for a team that still touts themselves as a good defensive team, it's just been a little bit too many defensive miscues this year from guys like Gunnar Henderson, who we've seen play, for the most part, gold glove caliber defense in their career. Westberg, you know, sure thing with defense. He's been a little sloppy at times. So, I don't know. I don't think it's an overarching issue, but when it does pop up, it seems to really, really be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, that's kind of the dirty little secret that Gunnar definitely has. He makes some plays defensively, obviously a lot of wild plays. But he also has the ones where it's the routine plays, and whether he drops the ball or he had the error the other day where he overshoots the throw to first base. He has some mental lapses at times where, you know, he's so good where that shouldn't be the case. Ramon had one as well. He's a former Gold Glover. Yeah, I mean, for a team that does hang their hat on defense, they do kind of struggle, I think, with some of the mental lapses on defense, probably more than they should.
And then, oddly enough, the guy who gets criticized for his defense, you know, Heston Kerstad.
Yeah. Right.
He's been a sure thing since
fine.
He's been here.
And so. And probably the toughest place to play defense out at Camden Yards right now.
But give him his credit. One more here is on the Burns subject from Jimmy in Pasadena. Says, you guys sound like spoiled young fans. There you go, Vinny. Someone calling you young. Yeah. That's good. goes on to say the Baltimore players and organization shouldn't be scared of the Yankees at all. The fan base, for some reason, is. Corbin Burns will be the starting pitcher for the All-Star game. I'm all for it. Enjoy it and shut up about the series against the overachieving New York Yankees.
Well, all right. I mean, I don't think anybody is scared of the Yankees, but to ignore the type of roster that they have, and like they're only 3 games behind, they don't stink that bad. I mean, to say that they're overachieving with a MVP and Aaron Judge. They've got Juan Soto out there. Like, they're not, I wouldn't say that the Yankees are overachieving right now. It's tough to say that a team like that is overachieving in general when all they ever do is try to build their team to win championships. They're not a team that is ever kind of in the middle. So I don't know. I don't know about that one. I don't think anybody is scared of the Yankees, but it's nothing wrong with respecting what they have and being realistic about, look, they have a legit chance to win this division as well.
I think by the time they go to All-Star break, I think the O's will be up six.
I do think the O's will end up pulling away. I don't know if it'll be that soon, but I think when it's all said and done, I do think the Orioles will pull away from them. I do think the Orioles are clearly the better team between the two.
I think the Yankees need to worry more about Boston than they do the O's right now.
Yeah, maybe. All of a sudden, they're in the equation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Boston with another blowout win last night. The pitching is maintained, and the bats, they're there more than that. We'll see if Devers can still hang on. He was able to stay in the lineup yesterday. We'll see if he can stay healthy throughout the rest of this season. But that'll be huge for their success. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nest. Vinny has been talking a lot about the rookies, giving you his rookie report before the draft and telling you now what he thinks these guys will do now that they're on this team. We'll look at Tez Walker, the wide receiver from North Carolina. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.